Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to Hour 2. Now imagine you've purchased a home, your dream home. You've just started out with your family. You've got something that you can put your heart and effort into. You build this home, you fix it, you get it all set up. You move your family in, and shortly afterwards, your children start interacting with spirits. Not only spirits that come in a friendly form, but after a while, they start attacking the family and in some cases causing the family to have medical problems, repeated surgeries. Most families would pack up and leave, not the Wyricks. They're going to stand their ground and fight. We're going to find out a little bit more about that. And we're going to talk to the main target of these paranormal activities, Heidi Wyrick, who is involved in the story from the beginning, from the age of 3. And I guess she's still dealing with spirits as we speak. She has got a book out that her aunt has written called The Veil, Heidi Wyrick's Story. And her aunt is Joyce Cathy, and she's with us this evening as well. Joyce, thank you very much for joining us here on the show.
You're welcome.
And now, before we went to the top of the hour break, Lisa was explaining to us about the malevolent spirits that came into the home and the negativity that it started to have on the family, mentally, physically, medically. How are you, I guess, as the older sister and wanting to watch out for your family as well, how do you rectify for yourself what's going on with them? How do you, you know, I mean, you've got to be wanting to protect your sister. You got to be wanting to protect your niece and everybody involved in this. How is that taking a toll on you as the next door neighbor and hearing these type of things going on?
Well, it really does have an effect on you, because I couldn't count the times that Lisa would call and say that Heidi was crying, there was somebody in the house. And, you know, I'm sorry, hold on. Initially, we wasn't sure. We would always, you know, when she said there was somebody in there, I would go running down there with a gun and, you know, really thinking somebody was there. And, you know, you never discount that, or you never think, well, maybe there's not anybody. That thought never right. came to me. But every time she called, I would run down there, and we would go through the house, and, of course, we'd never find anybody. But, and then a lot of times, like Lisa was saying earlier, they would have to leave, and they would come to the house. They came to my house a lot of times, or a lot of times I would just have to take Heidi home to console her because she wouldn't stay in the house.
Now, so you live right next door, though. The spirits never came over to your house to hang out?
Well,
I mean, I would think you're right next door, and if they know that the basic food group that they're living off of is Heidi, and Heidi's only next door now hiding, I would think that's not a real far place for the spirits to have to go seek for her. I mean, did you ever, during hiding at your place, did the spirits ever come looking for her there?
Well, I can let Heidi answer that. She's sitting right here.
Okay.
I can tell you that she did get off the school bus one day and came up to the house and said that Mr. Gordy had been there the day before and wanted her to pass the message to me, which freaked me out. But she said that Mr. Gordy said that there was money buried in my yard. And at that point, I mean, you know, I said, well, did you say where the money was buried? And she said, yeah. And she took me by the hand and took me outside where the swing was, where Mr. Gore used to push her a lot, and said that there was money buried under the tree. And that was, of course, you know, everybody wants to know, did you dig?
Right.
You know, we didn't have any means of digging the yard up. We did have a little small metal detector that we borrowed, but, you know, over the course of years, if there had been money buried there, it would have shifted underground. And we did hear later that money had been buried there during the Civil War. And so, you know, we never dug far.
Right.
But that was an incident that Mr. Gordy did. You know, he visited her there in my yard a lot because that's where the swing was, the infamous swing where they used to play so much was in my backyard. So, yes, he did visit her there quite a bit, actually.
All right, so you've got that going. Now, we've got Heidi on the line with us now, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, Heidi, what is your earliest actual memory that you have of all the hauntings? I know you've heard the stories told 100 times from your mom and your dad and your aunt. What's your first real solid memory of either Mr. Gordy or anybody or any of the other spirits that you had to deal with?
Right. Well, like we were saying, I was only 3 at the time. So, of course, my mom is going to have a better memory because she was, you know, I went with her and told her every time I saw Mr. Gordy. I do remember seeing him for the first time. I was only 3. I do have, it's not, you know, like in depth. I can't remember every little detail, but
sure.
I do remember seeing him for the first time, and I was out standing by the chimney, and I remember what he looked like, and I remember what he had on.
And you never had that sense of fear?
I every conversation that we had and every word that was spoken.
But did you ever have a sense of worry or fear when you were around Mr. Gordy?
No, I was never, I never had a sense of fear. I was never worried. I was never scared when I was with him. It was almost like, you know, a protector. I mean, that's the sense that I got from him was he was there. Like my mom said, like a grandfather figure. I mean, that's how I looked at him. You know, he was an old man, and it was just like he was there watching over me, you know, and he was there to protect me, and that's the sense that I got from him.
Now, did you ever feel that, when the malevolent, when the bad spirits started to muck about with you, would Mr. Gordy ever show up and chase them away?
You know, I was asked that question just a couple of days ago. He was never there at the time that I would see, as you would say, the malevolent spirit.
Right.
He would always show up afterwards. But I think that the reason that they could only go so far, you know, as to the scratching or the hair pulling, you know, maybe because he was there. Just because I didn't see him at the time doesn't mean that he wasn't there. I mean, I could feel him all the time, but I didn't always see him when I would see these other spirits. But I do believe that he was there.
I'm just curious, and Joyce, I know you've done a lot of investigating in these type of stories and cases, as you've told us a little bit about the veil and understanding the bond with that. Do you think that there was any chance that maybe Mr. Gordy was part of the problem? Was he maybe taking on a dark form to scare Heidi so that then he could be the one to be there to comfort her after? If he never showed up, but she always kind of sensed he was around, but he didn't show up until afterwards and was there to kind of put her back together. You know, I mean, have you ever thought put any thought in that kind of interaction between the two of them?
Well, we didn't think of it that way, but we've had so many people that, you know, people that would come and pray over the house and psychics that came. And we did hear from some people that they felt that Mr. Gordy really was not a protector and really was the evil person and could come in many forms and that kind of thing. But we, of course, never knew. Heidi always felt that he was there for protection. But, you know, as you know, a spirit can take on any form. We know that from the Bible.
Exactly.
So we really don't know, you know, whether he was or not. We never really understood it.
Okay. Now, Heidi, When these other spirits started making themselves known to you, the ones that were mean and nasty, did you... I know earlier they said that you would call out to Mr. Gordy from time to time. Did you ever call out to him during those times when you were feeling frightened? Or were you just calling out to him when you were bored and lonely at home and wanted a playmate?
Well, I really don't remember calling out to Mr. Gordy.
Okay.
My mom says that she remembers one time when I was really upset, and I'm assuming it was one of those times where we was having a bad night, you know, as far as one of the entities giving us some problems. But she said that she does remember one night I did call out for him. I don't remember that. I think that was probably the only time I've never, other than that, I've never really called any spirits that I know of.
Do you see spirits when you're just out walking about? I mean, do you see them, you know, hanging out on the street corner, walking in the mall, or hanging out in somebody else's home? Do you physically see them as though they're a three-dimensional, full-on character, or do you see a misty character, a figure that you can see through? What do you see?
Well, they look just like me and you. I mean, the reason I can tell them apart is because most of the time it only takes just a few moments before they disappear.
Okay.
I have seen them walking about. I don't have to be at a certain place. I've seen them driving down the road. I've never seen one in a mall, but
all right. Well, now you say driving down the road. Are they sitting in the car next to whoever's driving, or are they? Do you see ghost vehicles? And I don't mean that to sound silly, but I'm just trying to understand what you're seeing.
Right. Well, this incident is me. This was a few years ago, but I was in the car. I wasn't driving. My friend's mother was actually driving. We were coming back from the mall, going down the highway. There was some storage buildings to the right of us, and it wasn't an actual, and I know this is probably going to sound really crazy, but it wasn't an actual human form. It was more of a bird-like form, but it was, I mean, the size of this thing was huge. I mean, the wingspan, it was like a moth color. And not long after I seen this, I don't know if you've ever heard of the movie The Mothman Prophecy.
Right, sure.
With Richard Gere. Well, not long after I had seen that, that movie came out. And that's how I describe it to people when they ask me. But this thing was huge, and it was the color. It was like a moth, I mean, as far as the color. But its wingspan was unimaginable. I mean, and like I said, we were going down the highway. I didn't get to look at it for very long, but it swooped down beside the car. And no one else seemed to see it, you know, other than myself. And everyone else was just going about their business, you know, and talking and laughing and cutting up.
Sure.
And I was just, you know, looking in disbelief because I had never seen anything like this before in my life. And like I said, there were some storage buildings that was on the side of the highway that we were going down, and it swooped down beside the car, and then it swooped over to the storage buildings, and it perched like a bird. And it perched on the storage buildings, and it swung its wing up against, I mean, like, you know, over its face. So I really didn't get a good look at its face, but I got a really good look at its body and its wings and that sort of thing. But I had never in my life seen anything like that before. So like I said, it wasn't human form, but,
Now, when you see the spirits, do they have voice? I mean, if you talk to, do you ever try to engage the spirits, or do you just try to avoid them at all costs?
Well, really, the only spirits that I have ever conversed with was Mr. Gordy, and then the other spirit, Khan, that had his hand wrapped up in a bandage.
Right.
I have never had any other conversations with any of the other spirits. The dark figure I've seen very frequently. He never seemed to want to try to communicate, and me, you know, on the other hand, I never wanted to communicate with him. I was terrified of him,
right.
And I've been seeing him, and I still see him to this day, and I've been seeing him since I was young, but I've never tried to communicate with him. I've never wanted to. I have never communicated with any of the other ones except for the two, you know, which was Mr. Cordy, which I've seen for about 5 years, and then Con.
Now, when you saw Mr. Gordy for about 5 years, did he just, like, puff the magic dragon, vanish as you became a young woman and moved on with your life? Or did he say, you know, Heidi, I've got to go now, honey, you're going to be okay, and he was gone?
Well, the last time I seen Mr. Gordy, I was actually 8 years old, and it was funny because it was right before the filming of Unsolved Mysteries. We were on Unsolved Mysteries in 94, and that was the year my sister was born. But it was right before the filming of Unsolved Mysteries was the last time I seen him. And it's in the book, and it tells all about it. But I was actually in my yard, and I had just gotten a bicycle. I know that this is going to sound really strange because people are thinking, okay, this, you know, dead man is pushing on the swing and helping her on her bicycle and that sort of thing. And it just kind of
Heidi, you're on a paranormal show. There is nothing that sounds strange. We're all used to these stories.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
But, you know, I can remember him, and he kind of helped me onto my bicycle, and that, you know, it was kind of, I guess he was kind of saying, you know, you're on your own, you know, you know, that was it. I mean, because, you know, he helped me on my bike, and I took off, and that was the last time I ever
saw him. Uh-oh, you're having the ghosts are interfering with you. I guess we shouldn't have put out the invitation for them to be a part of the second hour. Your phone just about crapped out on us. We could hear your voice somewhat in the background, so hopefully we won't lose you here. All right, so he just, that was it. It was just kind of no real parting shot. There was no big goodbye, no hug, no I'll see you some other time. It was just one day he was just gone. Okay. Now this big black malevolent spirit that seems to follow you around, let me get an understanding, has it actually ever touched or physically hurt you?
Well, every time that we've ever had anything physically happen to us, I've always felt like it was him. I mean, as far as the scratches and the hair pulling, you know, and that sort of thing. I did at one point in my life, I can't remember how old I was. I think I was probably about 5, but I was laying on my couch, and my mom and dad were outside, and I remember the first time I ever seen the dark figure was in the hallway, and I was laying on my couch, and there he came down the hallway again. And he came walking towards me with a pillow in his hand, like he was fixing to smother me. And he kept getting closer, and he kept getting closer. And, you know, I was little, and I had no idea what to think about this. And like I said, he was this dark figure. There's no features. There's no facial features. There's no color. It's just black. And, you know, he got all around to just smothering me, and I started screaming to the top of my lungs, and I was screaming, and I was crying, and I was just pouring sweat. And, you know, that's about the time my mom and dad came running inside, and I told them about it. But I mean, you know, I've always believed that, especially from then on, that any time we've ever had anything physically happen to us, I've always just had a sense that he was the one, you know, doing it all. He was the one responsible.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here for the second hour. We're going to start off with our first break. We'll be back to finish up more with your story. Thank you for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with Heidi Weirich and her Aunt Joyce Kathy, who will be here to talk to us about the book, which is kind of what we're covering, some of the stories in The Veil, Heidi Weirich's story. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730
or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
They're hardly beautiful and barely average. In fact, when they were both born, the doctor slapped their moms instead of them.
I will slap you so hard you end up in the Ming Dynasty.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hey, everybody. Wanted to welcome you back to the show. Remember to check out our website. There's a lot of exciting things that are going to be coming up here soon. We've got UNIVCon, which is taking place at Penn State College in the middle of October. There's also a great investigation that's going on with the guys from Ghost Adventures on the Sci-Fi Channel. You can join me out at both of those events, and there are links and information on those sites. And then don't forget about Ghost Stock in Savannah, Georgia, for the Halloween weekend, which is taking place with Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence. It's his Ghost Hounds Association is putting together a great paranormal weekend with investigations, talks, everything you could possibly want, all for one low fee. $100 for the entire weekend, Tim. Can you believe it?
What?
$100 only. So you can come on out, talk with the celebs, mix and match, ask questions of the experts. It'll be a great time for all. Come on out, enjoy it, be a part of it with us. Also, we've got some tickets are still left for the Rolling Hills event, but it is going fast. If you're interested, please check it out. You can go out and ghost hunt with Jason and Grant, Steve, Dave Tango, and Heather, all from the TV show Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel. We're going to be out with those guys. We're going to also be out with local ghost hunters. We've got Linda Zimmerman, who is also an author, and we've got Stacey Jones, a ghost cop, will be out there talking to us about her investigations of Rolling Hills, along with Lori Carlson, who owns Rolling Hills, will be giving some of the history and sharing some of her experiences as well. I hope that you will join us. Tim and I will be doing talks. We have information up on our website about that and more upcoming trips at darknessevents.com. Again, that's darknessevents.com. Now we're going to get back into tonight's show where we're talking to Heidi Weirich, and she is talking to us about the amazing story she's lived since the age of 3, where she's been continually dealing with spirits. There is a new book out, and it is called The Veil, The Heidi Weirich Story, and it's written by Joyce Cathy. And Joyce and Heidi are with us. Again, ladies, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Now, let me ask, getting out the story, Joyce, I know is important, you know, giving Heidi's story a voice as well. Were you afraid, you know, for your niece to keep relating these stories? Were you afraid that it might continue to keep the spirits bothering her by opening up and sharing all this information?
Well, no, because, you know, it's never stopped, really.
Okay.
I mean, it's been going on since she was 3. Actually, let me back up, and before I back up, I want to say something else important to you.
Please.
When you heard those voices in the background, it had to be paranormal because the voices weren't here. And I have heard that on this phone before. So if you heard voices a little bit ago, it was not, I don't know, it had to have been paranormal.
Oh, okay.
And then backing up, too.
Well, thanks for freaking us out, Heidi.
Do what now?
I said, thanks for freaking us out, Heidi.
You know, and that's when the phone got static. Heidi was holding it, and that's when you heard the static and the voices.
Yeah, that's what I said. We were hearing really weird stuff. I knew they were going to show up with Heidi. Is that the deal?
All right, so
that's what all that static and screeching was. Okay, all right. Well, you know, now the spirits are talking to us, Tim.
That's right. That's what you heard.
All right, good deal. All right, so now go on with the rest of your thought on this.
I wanted to back up just a little.
Please.
We say Heidi was 3. 3 is the earliest that we documented anything on her. But when she was 2, they were visiting my house, and I lived, that's before I moved next door to them. But we were just kind of sitting around, and she went in the walk-in closet. You know, you
you know, you just watch kids, but you really don't pay that much attention. But she was in my walk-in closet, and she didn't come out for, you know, just a few minutes. And when she came out, we said, "What were you doing?" Because she stayed in there. Well, it was long enough for us to notice that she didn't come out right away. And she said, "I was talking to a lady." Now, we didn't think about this until later on after Mr. Gordy started visiting and then Con started visiting. And then we thought, and then one of us, I don't even know who remembered it, but she started seeing that at the age of two. But she said it was a lady in the closet. And I said, "Well, what did she say?" And she said she didn't say nothing. She was dead. And so that was really the earliest. She was really two, just enough to where she could talk plain enough to understand her. So it's really been going on all of her life since she was old enough to talk.
Oh, geez. Well, now, there was an interesting point, too, if I remember in the documentary, where not only were you able to procure the signed contract by Mr. Gordy, which gave you proof, but didn't a photograph also appear that had Mr. Gordy in it and also one that had Con in it? And that's how you knew that something really weird was going on, because Heidi, who had not known what either one of them looked like, was able to point out who these men were.
Exactly. And see, we after we found the name, we still wasn't sure. And after, and then we contacted Dr. William Rowe, a parapsychologist out of the University of Georgia, who, after he began to study his story, I don't know if Unsolved Mysteries, I think Unsolved Mysteries contacted him looking for a story to do. And he said that it was the most interesting story he had ever studied, because he said that, I have to retract that, because he said that statement later after the fact. But at the time Unsolved Mysteries got involved, they obtained a picture of Mr. Gordy from his daughter who lived, I believe, down in Florida. They got in touch with her. She sent a picture. Heidi or none of us had ever seen the picture before. And the actual footage, if you've seen Unsolved Mysteries, that was the first time she had ever seen the picture. They mixed it in with a whole bunch of other pictures, and that was done live. She picked him out of a whole stack of pictures, and we didn't know if she really would be able to do it or not. And we were just kind of nervous, you know, is she going to be able to really identify him or not? But going through the pictures, he was down to the bottom of the stack. She pulled it out and said, "This is Mr. Gordy." And, of course, that was the defining moment there. That's when we knew, you know, absolutely for sure that was, you know, that's who it was. I mean, we had a feeling after we found the name, but we wasn't absolutely positively sure until she identified the picture. But in the process of doing that, the lady that lived in the house that I bought later on brought pictures of her family, and that's how she found the picture of Con, because it was her uncle, the lady that I bought the house from. And we were looking, actually, to see if we could find something of Mr. Gordy, and when we found, and at first we thought Con and Mr. Gordy was the same person, but at that point she pulled out the picture of Con and identified him, and that's how we knew who he was.
All right. So I'm just, this whole perplexes me. I mean, certainly I'm interested in the paranormal. You hear all these stories, all the stuff going on. You know, I mean, we joke around, one of our even intros and outros to our show is the old comedy sketch by Eddie Murphy talking about the difference between, white folks and black folks, is that black folks would have gotten the hell out of the house the minute something weird started to happen. You guys, you guys have been, they were in this house for what she say, 16 years?
16 years.
And kept dealing with this. How many different ways, Heidi, that you can remember, did you guys try to do it? I mean, did they bathe you in holy water? Did they wash you with sea salt? What did they do to try to stave off the effects that you were dealing with?
They made several attempts. I mean, we called our pastor, we called the priest, well, a priest, he wasn't ours, but we called a priest at one point. We did have our pastor. We were going to one church, at the earlier stage when all this was going on, and then later on we had changed churches, so needless to say we had both pastors come out. We had people come out and sit on our front lawn and pray all night long. I mean, we had, you know, so many people praying for us, and so many, I mean, it was just an ongoing thing, and nothing seemed to help. I mean, you think that with all the praying and with, you know, with all the people coming and blessing the house and, you know, and all that going on, it just, I mean, it would stop for a little while. And then, you know, it was like it came back, and when it came back, it would just be even worse. And I guess they had were angry, you know.
Were you, as you got older and you were dealing with this, did you ever mess with the Ouija board to try to make communication? Did you ever do any of the stuff that people always get warned about doing?
No, I've never even owned a Ouija board.
Okay.
I've never been involved in any of that. I don't really, I try to make it known, you know, to people that I'm not a psychic. I don't mess with Ouija boards. I don't call up spirits. I don't do channeling. I don't do any of that. I don't really like to be known for that sort of thing, just, you know, with my beliefs and my religion and all. So, no, I have never been involved with a Ouija board or anything to do with that.
How do your friends react to this idea? Do they think you're nuts? Do they believe you? Do they see these things happen themselves when they're over to the house?
Well, friends. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, you got to have one brave boyfriend to deal with that stuff. That's yeah. Wait, you see a giant black figure at the end of our bed? Hey, I forgot something out in the car. I'll be back in a little bit, honey. That would be the end of the relationship for me.
I can honestly say that I have had one true friend that has really stuck by me through all of this, up until I got married. You know, then my husband, he was there. But my friend, we've been friends since I was 5 years old, and this was around the time that everything was happening. But she has stuck by me since I was 5 years old, and we are still best friends to this day. So, and she came over, she spent the night, she was at my house almost every weekend, or either I was at hers, so it never really seemed to bother her. And, I mean, there was times where, and I don't really like to talk about this, my mom usually does, she usually explains this part, but going through school, being known to see ghosts, or however you want to put it, it doesn't come across too well with the other children.
Right, right.
But there were times, you know, at school when the children weren't so nice, and she would always be the one, because we did look similar. People would get us confused sometimes because we looked a little bit alike. So there would be times where she would, you know, they would come up to me and say, "Hey, aren't you the ghost girl?" And she'd say, "No, that's me," you know. And she was that kind of friend, you know. She was just there with me the whole time.
Well, Heidi, let me just go on record as saying you now have two more friends. Tim and I will tell people we're the ghost girl. Okay.
Well, thanks very much.
We'll protect you. You don't let these people get to you. Now, do you have children of your own now, Heidi?
I don't. I don't have any kids at the moment.
Are you nervous about that, knowing that this is something that's passed down?
I am. I have been told by someone that we met up in Kentucky when we were doing a book signing that it would be passed down to my child, and I don't really know. I mean, I don't really know if it will be or not. I don't know if I want it to be. I mean, I wouldn't. My grandmother was sitting here. She said no. I wouldn't want to pass this down to my children.
Uh-huh.
It's not something, I mean, it's not something that's pleasant. I mean, it's not something that you want your child to go through.
Right.
I mean, my mom had to see her child go through it, and I wouldn't want my child to go through it. But, you know, I don't really know what all this is for. I don't know what God has in mind. I mean, I haven't figured it out yet, so I can't really say, you know.
Well,
I'm
sure you saw the movie The Sixth Sense, right?
Right, I have.
Have you felt the need, knowing what you know and having the abilities that you have, do you ever feel the need to seek out what these spirits want? Do you ask them, or have you thought, you know, hey, Mr. Gordy, what's the story? You know, do you need me to tell your wife that you love her and here's where the key to the safety deposit box is? Or, you know,
right.
You know, do you feel that there's unfinished business that you're trying to cover? What do you think about that with your abilities? Is that something that you want to use them for?
Well, I would love to be able to do that. I mean, if it is meant for me to do, if they did need my help, I would be more than happy to help. I mean, the movie The Sixth Sense didn't come out until long after I had seen Mr. Gordy for the last time. But and you know, when you're a child, you don't really think of things like that. Oh, how can I help?
Well, right, I know that now, but I'm talking now as an adult.
Right.
And you're still seeing these spirits. Do you feel the need to, you know, to approach one and say, hey, what do you need? Can I help you out? See, I would think that would drive me nuts. I'm a horrible people pleaser. I always want to help everybody out in real life. I could just imagine if I had this ability. That's why God spared the world that I don't have the ability to see dead people, because I'd be talking to the corner bench by myself trying to figure out the problems of the dead people. I don't even know how to fix my own life. But how do you justify that? I mean, is that something that you've ever considered getting involved with to help them out? Maybe they'll tell you where the key to the safety deposit box is. You'll be wealthy that way.
Right. I mean, I have definitely thought about it several times, and I would love to be able to help them if that's what, you know, if that's what they were wanting from me. But for some reason, and I don't know if it's just not the right time, but a lot of times when I see certain entities or when I see these entities, I don't see them long enough, you know, to actually even try to carry on a conversation. And a lot of times, it's like my mom was saying earlier, you don't never really get used to it. So, you know, when I'm walking down the hallway or sitting on the couch and you all of a sudden see something, the first thing that comes, well, obviously the first thing that's going to come to your mind is, oh my Lord, what am I, is this really happening? I mean,
right.
Even still after all these years. So you don't really think to yourself at the moment, oh, how can I help, you know, how can I help him,
right.
Or how can I help? But if I could, now like Mr. Gordy, now I would sit and talk with him, you know, for hours. But for some reason, as I got older, I still saw him, but I saw him like they didn't stick around as long when I did see him. But I mean, if I could sit and talk with one of them, I would do my best to help them. But I just, for some reason, they don't stick around that long.
All right. What do you hope happens with this? Do you want it to just go away and then tomorrow Heidi is normal and doesn't see dead people? And by that, I don't mean to be disrespectful, not saying that you're not normal, but I mean that you're not plagued by visions of dead people. I mean, would you like to just wake up tomorrow and it all be gone?
Well, I can't say that I haven't ever wished that. I mean, of course I have. I've wished that several times, that none of this would have ever happened. You know, I wasn't known for this, you know, and that sort of thing. But when I start feeling that way, I just try to think to myself, you know, that this is for a reason. Maybe I can help somebody. Maybe somebody is going through the same thing and they just need, you know, they need confirmation or they need to hear, you know, about someone else that's going through the same thing. And, I mean, I just try. There's so many things that can come out of this, you know, for the better. And so that's what I try to do.
What advice would you give? Right now there seems to be a big influx of what they call indigo children or children that have special abilities and can do things like you can do and might be feeling terrified or tormented. What advice do you give to a parent of a child that has your ability? What can you advise them to do to make life easier for their children?
Well, believe them. I know that it may sound, I mean, I know children can come up with the wildest things, but they're not always, it's not always going to be an imaginary friend, you know. Sometimes it may be real, and the best thing that you can do for your child is to support them like my family did. I mean, at first anybody is going to think, well, it's an imaginary friend, you know, or something like that, but the best thing that you can do is to support them in every way possible. You know, let them know that you're there for them and let, you know, tell them that you believe them and that everything's going to be okay. And, you know, and just basically just support them, you know, and believe them when they come up to you and tell you something like that. Because to go through something like that as a child, and you know, for one, not have anyone, you know, at school or anywhere else believe you, you really, really, really need the support of your family and your friends. Right. And
well, that's good advice, and hopefully people will heed that. That if they're dealing with something like this, it's you know, it's best not to ostracize the child and make them feel bad about it. We're going to take our second break here, Heidi. When we come back, Joyce, if I could get you to turn the phone over real quick to Lisa for one quick question for Lisa and Heidi together, and then we'll wrap up with you and Heidi. We'll do that right after this. So stick with us. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the 7-bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Just might open the window.
Welcome back to the Darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the Edge of Town.
Welcome back to the show. Do we, Heidi, do we have your mom on the phone with you right now by any chance?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Lisa, I got to ask you, as a parent, I have to know something. Now, you give your daughter some leeway with the abilities that she has. You understand that it's done through the family. But now, how often did little Heidi break something and blame it on the spirits? Mama, I didn't do it. I swear to God, it was a ghost. I was sneaking out the window. I was sneaking out my bedroom window because the ghosts were in here, Mom. I swear. It had nothing to do with my boyfriend sitting out in front of the house.
I can't tell that on her because she was too honest. I can't say that she did that at all.
Okay. No, I'm just curious. Cause,
if she did, I can't recall it.
I can't even let my kids hear this episode or they're going to be telling me they're seeing ghosts and that's why everything's breaking in my house. So that would be it. Well, Heidi, I, your mom was supportive is what I'm gathering from this. She was cool about this. She understood what you were going through. She gave you the love and support without making you feel bad or stupid or weird or whatever negative connotation. And I'd asked you before the break, what advice would you give to parents? Lisa, I'll put that question in your lap as well. As the parent of a child who's gifted and has this ability, what do you recommend to parents? What can they do to differentiate between a wildly imaginative experience for these kids and the fact that they're really seeing and dealing with spirits?
Well, I think that if the parents would just listen to their children closely, never take anything for granted, and believe in them and love them, and if you sit and listen to your children, you'll be able to distinguish the two, if it's an imaginary or if it's something real. I mean, I know I didn't the first time, but over time I did. So I think if the parents would just take the time and listen to their children instead of just, you know, passing them off and sending them into another room, you know, but sit and take the time and listen to what they're telling you and listen to the details that they're giving you. I mean, if, you know, if it's an imaginary friend, I just don't feel that they would give you things in such great detail. So just listen to the children and, you know, just take the time.
and just take it one day at a time. If anybody's ever going through this, you know, it was very hard for me. I've cried a lot of nights and wondering why my child had to go through this, and it was very, very hard for me. You know, I can deal with it better now, but, you know, when she was growing up and seeing the hard times that she had to go through with her peers at school and seeing the things, the mean things they did to her, which, you know, you'll read about that in the book. You know, it's really hard for me to talk about the things that they did to her and how cruel they was to her. But, you know, I just have to take it one day at a time. That's all I can really say.
Well,
and
Lisa,
I guess that's a lesson learned.
Well, we appreciate you being a part of the show with us. We're going to wrap up with your sister and with Heidi here. And good job on being a good mom and a good supportive person for your daughter to be able to lean on during that time. That had to be really hard, so I give you a lot of credit as a parent. That shows a lot of fortitude between you and your husband to stand by your daughter like you did.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
You bet. Now, Heidi and Joyce, we've got you on the line here for, what, about 5 more minutes, Tim? Are we 5, 10? He's checking it out on the producing side here.
Okay.
We've got about 9, 10 minutes left on the show, so let's try to just kind of go through some of the stuff that in the book, now you're covering it, Joyce, you decided to kind of give Heidi's voice to this and give it from her perspective. Can you give us a couple of the highlights, you know, just a couple of little touches on in the book of what you cover, what you're sharing with it that maybe we haven't seen in other adaptations of this on Unsolved Mysteries or on the documentary?
Well, the book goes into more detail than, of course, they did on the documentary, and there's several incidences in the book that's not covered. I'm trying to think specifically of a particular incident. Lisa was just reminding me of one part when they, after they moved and got out of the house, incidents have still continued, and the place they moved, it was the second place they moved after they moved out of the house on Twent Loop, when she was in her bedroom one night and something grabbed her by her legs and lifted her up into the air and kind of twisted her.
Lifted who? Lisa or Heidi?
Heidi.
Okay.
But there were several incidences that we, you know, within the short time, we couldn't really go into it in depth. But one thing I did want to mention, though, Heidi was talking about the bird-like creature that she saw.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Wow, you totally dropped out on us, sir. What was that? I'm sorry.
Oh, well, the bird-like, I wanted to just mention this really briefly before the time got away.
Sure.
But the bird-like creature that Heidi saw from the car window, she is a fairly good artist, and she drew a picture of what she remembered seeing. And if you visit our website at www.theveilbook.net, there is a picture that Heidi drew that I scanned into the computer, so you can go in there and actually see what Heidi saw.
All right, and that is theveil.net?
Did
you say it was theveilbook.net?
Yes.
Okay.
Theveilbook.net. Yes, theveilbook.net.
Okay.
And go to Drawings by Heidi. There's a couple of others that she drew, but the one that is really fascinating of the bird-like creature that she saw is very detailed. For that show. And I just wanted to let your listeners know that, because it's really hard to describe what she saw.
All right. We will jot that down. We'll make sure that the link is up on the website as well. And we'll have a link up there, of course, for your book. Is there, Heidi, going forward now, you've got the book out here, you're following through, you know, you're getting the word out about what you do. Are you making yourself available to people that, you know, other kids that may be in the position that you're in to reach out for you for help?
Well, I do have my email address listed on our website.
Okay.
I've had several people contact me saying that they were going through similar situations. They don't usually give their age, but I mean, anyone, no matter how old or how young, anyone that would like to talk with me, my email address is on our website. Like I said, I would be more than happy to talk with them. If they had any questions or if they just wanted someone to talk to, I mean, like I said, my email address is on there, and I would love to hear from anybody. So.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. And now, again, this is available. The book is available on websites like Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. Is that right, Joyce?
Right.
Okay.
So Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and any of the major bookstores do have it online. It was printed through a company called iUniverse. It's partnered with Barnes & Noble. So it's a print-on-demand book, and that's why it's not available in the stores yet. We're hoping that it will be on the shelf, but currently it has to be ordered online. And if you go to our website, we've got a couple of links on there from some different bookstores, or you can actually just type in the Vale Heidi Warwick story, and there's just all kind of information out there in places that you can order it from.
All right. Now, I'm looking, too, at the figures and the pictures that you've drawn on here. Now, the creature, is it the beast? Is that what you saw from the window in the car? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, sir. That's the one.
Okay. And then the dark figure is the shadowy-like presence that you see also drawn in there. So you've got both of those photographs or sketches that you've done on that page. So we're just, as we're talking to you, we popped up the website so we could take a peek at it as well.
Okay.
Oh, that is a creepy-looking creature, Heidi.
Yeah, it's not something that I ever care to see again.
Wow.
I did see it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said, wow, that is, yeah, I mean, it's very demonic looking almost with the big leathery looking
right
wings and just, yeah, that creepy kind of stance.
Right. And that's I couldn't really describe it. There's really no words to describe it. It was demonic. I feel that it was and is demonic. That's the only way I knew how to describe it to people. You know, I had so many people asking me what it looked like. So one day I just decided, well, maybe I should try to draw it. So that's what came out.
Are you still working with Dr. Roll at all? Is he still working with you at all to try to fix this, or?
Well, he did. He wrote a very nice foreword in the book. We do stay in contact with Dr. Roll, and like I said, he did write the foreword for the book. So, I mean, we do keep in contact still.
All right.
He is. I think he's retired, is what Joyce is. What Joyce just said.
Right. Yeah, I know that, but I just didn't know if he was still reaching out to help you on this as well. Now, can people get? I know these are print on demand, but can they get autographed copies of these, or is it only at the live book signings that they can hook up with you?
If anyone's interested, mostly all the signed copies are, of course, were done at the book signings. But if anyone's really interested and want to contact us through our website, we can get them a signed copy.
Right.
We'll be glad to mail it to them.
Now, are they working on a movie version of this at all yet, or is that still in the works?
We would like to say they were. we're hoping for that. We're getting a lot of positive feedback, and we're hoping that comes to fruition. But right now, there's nothing in the works.
All right. Well, you know, at least you know that your mom and your dad can play themselves very convincingly on camera as they did in the documentary, right, Heidi?
Oh. They were convincing, weren't they?
They were
they
very good in the roles as themselves, so it was...
Well, you know, they asked us, you know, when they came down and talked to us about, do you want to try to play your own part? And, of course, we thought that was what everybody did. We didn't know, and we said, sure. So then we found out that we were the only people dumb enough to play their own parts, I guess.
No, that wasn't dumb. Like I said, it was cool to actually see the people involved in it and to kind of get that sense and feel of what you guys were actually going through by being a part of that. Now, is Heidi, you've got a little sister, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does she carry on this ability as well?
No, not to my knowledge. I know that she has... Well, like we were saying earlier, she did go through the incident where the ribbon was tied around her neck in several knots.
Okay.
There's only one other incident that I know of that she's ever experienced, and she was, I think she may have been about 8 years old. I'm not positive on the age. But she seen a little girl while she was in the bathtub. And my mom heard her in there talking, and she went in there to see who she was talking to, and she said that she was talking to a little girl that had died in a car wreck. And she, I mean, that's not, you know, her exact words, but that's the detail. I mean, she, you know, she went in to tell my mom
the details and how she was on her way to buy tickets, her and her mom were on her way to buy tickets, and they had gotten into an accident. And, I mean, that was the only, that's the only incident that I ever knew of that she had ever experienced.
Well, Heidi, good luck to you in your future and good luck with your children. I hope that this skips a couple more generations so everybody in your family can just have a chance to settle down and relax. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And Joyce, thank you for bringing it out into a book form so that it can be shared with the rest of us.
Sure, and we sure do appreciate you having us on the show.
It's our pleasure. And please, as updates are going on, let us know about it. If you guys are going to be doing a big Hollywood version of it, we'd love to know about it. And hopefully
it'll be
on
the website.
Good. We'll talk about having you out. I know we're working on a couple of other events that we're going to be working, and I know that we're going to be back in Atlanta, Georgia within the next year, and we're going to be back out to Louisville, Kentucky to do a few more events. And I'd love to have you guys out and do a little talk and talk about your book as well.
That'll be great. We sure do appreciate it.
Great. Well, thank you very much to Lisa, to Heidi, and Joyce. I appreciate
thank
you guys
you.
Being with us. You bet. And thank you all for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Again, if you want more information, you can check out the information on their website at theveilbook.net. That's theveilbook.net. Theveilbook.net for the Heidi Weirich story. Hope you'll check it out. We'll be back again with you next week with a brand new show. Look forward to talking to you then. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.